Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8, we're going to be in Hosea and then also in Galatians. Hosea chapter 8. I am and will never be confused with a farmer. I do not have the desire or ability to make things grow well. It is... I enjoy the fruits of farming, but am not good at it. My wife has convinced us to have an allotment, and I have done the manual labor in said allotment, and she is the chooser and planter and everything from that point forward. But one thing is crystal clear to me about farming, and that is what I would call the law of the harvest. And that idea is that what you plant, that's what you're going to reap. If you decide to plant peas, then you're going to grow peas, if anything grows. For me, it most likely wouldn't. But if anything does grow, that's what you'll receive. If you plant corn, then you'll get corn. If you plant a cherry tree, you're not going to get apples from it. It's the law of the harvest. What you plant is what you're going to reap. What you put into the soil is what you're going to get out. If you don't go and maintain... If we don't go and maintain the allotment, then weeds will grow up. And that's what we will reap. A bunch of weeds and possibly a little bit of the sustenance from that said allotment. That idea, what you sow is also what you reap, is a biblical idea. It is throughout the Bible. And I call it the law of the harvest for that very reason. It makes it very clear, very simple as to what takes place. The things that you sow, the things that you sow in life, are the things that you will reap in life. There are numerous examples of this. Hosea chapter 8, starting in verse 5, it says, "Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workmen made it. Therefore it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles, as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers." The Samaritans are known well throughout the scriptures. Not the idea of when Jesus is going through Samaria, but Samaria as the capital of Israel. If you remember biblical history, when Israel was formed, the 10 northern tribes was formed, the king took and made a golden calf in the southern part of the nation and a golden calf in the northern part of the nation. And he claimed that that was where the Israelites should worship God. Now he was claiming to worship the true God, but to worship it in a way that was not prescribed in the scriptures. And here in the book of Hosea, Hosea is saying to the Israelites, this is what you reap. The Assyrians are going to come and are going to carry you away. And you're not going to return to this land because of what you've sown. Because from the day that Israel, the 10 northern tribes, was formed as a nation, they worshiped God in a manner that was not prescribed to them in the scriptures. And so they left God, and they followed their own way, and they worshiped these golden calves. And Hosea says here, the golden calves are going to cast thee off, because these are not God. This is not the way it works, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. The idea of sowing the wind is ridiculous to a farmer. It's ridiculous to anyone who's going to plant. The idea that I'm going to go and I'm going to take my seed, and I'm going to throw it into a strong breeze, into a strong wind. Well, it's going to go wherever the wind takes it. It's pointless, isn't it? The idea to do something like that. But that's exactly what Israel did when they chose to serve God in a way that he didn't prescribe. When they chose to run after Baal, when they chose to run after all of the false gods, they chose to cast their seed into the wind. Where it lands, who knows? The problem that I have as a potential farmer is I can't tell the difference between a weed and a good plant until it brings forth its fruit, whatever that may be. So as things are growing up, I can't tell whether it should be something that should be pulled out because it's a weed, or left alone because it's something that I've planted. I have no eye to tell the leaves apart or the stalks apart. Maybe that's something that could be taught. I don't know. But it makes a difference as to what you plant and where you plant it and how you plant it. And Israel, they planted in the wind. They sowed their seed in the wind, and what did they reap? They reaped the whirlwind. They reaped the tornado. They reaped destruction, because destruction is what they sowed. They decided to sow apart from God. They decided to sow apart from what His Word told them to do. And because of that, they reaped destruction. Well, you can see that example carry through the Scriptures, through the history of Israel. You can see it as they turned away from the Redeemer, and Israel ceased to be a nation, and destruction followed them even as they were not a physical nation throughout history. You can see these things, that when you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. If it was a farmer nowadays, they do their best to make sure that the seed is planted directly in the soil. You see this machinery that goes down and pokes it into the soil so that it never actually sees the light of day from the machine to the soil, because they don't want to lose the seed, because the seed is precious. So that's the only way they're going to get the harvest. And that makes it even more ridiculous to think of what Israel did. The bud shall yield no meal. And the Scripture says, and if it does, someone else is going to eat it. Someone else is going to have that produce. It's the idea of, if we have this allotment and we don't maintain it well enough, and they say, you know what, you haven't maintained it well enough, we're going to take it away from you because there's too many weeds growing. We don't think you're good at it. And they take it away from us. Whatever has grown that's good will go to someone else. Someone else will get that harvest. That's the idea here for Israel. They still worked the land. They still did their best, but the Assyrians come in and they take the Israelites away. And whatever was there, the towns, the buildings, the cities, the vineyards, the olive trees, all of those things become someone else's because of sowing to the wind. Hosea tells them in chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedly, and ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Isn't that the case with nations? We trust in ourselves. We can do it. That's the American spirit. That's just what they think. We can do anything we put our minds to. Well, that's pride. That's folly. You're going ahead of yourself if you think you can handle everything yourself. That's the way of men. That's the way of us all. We think that we're able to handle it. But the Scriptures tells us that is plowing wickedness. That is sowing to the wind. To think that you are capable in and of yourself. The grace of God is a gift of God. It's something that He bestows. How can it be of yourself? How can it be something that you have done? How can it be something that you have earned? It's impossible. And so Hosea says, do differently. Sow different things. Don't sow wickedness. Sow in righteousness. And you will reap in mercy. The idea here is for the Israelites to treat their neighbors differently than they had been treating them. Because then they'll be treated differently. You know, it's a constant thing in our household with three young boys, where someone does something, and it's perceived to be on purpose, whether it is or not, and the other one retaliates. They treat their brother as they were treated. That is opposite of what Scripture teaches. Treat people as you want to be treated. That's the idea here. Sow in righteousness, reap in mercy. Treat people well, you'll be treated well. The Israelites didn't do that. The Israelites didn't follow through on that statement. They treated people poorly. They treated those they conquered poorly, made them slaves, did abominable things to them, did abominable things before God. And what did they reap? They reaped iniquity. They reaped the whirlwind instead of reaping mercy. Instead of reaping the positives from God, they reaped the negatives instead. But there's that idea. What Hosea is telling them, do differently than what you've done. You can look through the Old Testament and you can see these things. You can look at David. David was a man after God's own heart, and God builds a kingdom through him. And God says, I'm going to have a man on your throne in perpetuity. And what does David do? He sows wickedness, doesn't he? He sows iniquity. And what does it bring upon his family? All of a sudden he has sons murdering sons. He has sons rebelling against him. He has problems throughout his family. It's sown in iniquity. And what does he reap? Well, it's just like the Israelites. He sowed to the wind and he reaped the whirlwind. You can look at it at Lot. You can see the same thing in Lot's life. He sowed to the wind. He reaped the whirlwind. He reaped destruction. You can look at Solomon. Solomon is this wonderful king who had so much. God had given him so much. And he sowed to the wind. Read the book of Ecclesiastes and you can see Solomon sowing to the wind. And what does he reap? He reaps the whirlwind. At the end of his life, he's sitting there and he says, it's all vanity. All these things that I've done, it's all vanity. Because I've been doing these things for the wrong reasons, for the wrong purposes, for the wrong motives. I've sown to the wind and I'm going to reap the whirlwind. The Authorized Version throughout the book of Ecclesiastes says it's vexation of spirit. Well, newer translations, which I love the Authorized Version, but they gave a twist on that. That's an accurate twist. It's called the chasing of the wind. That's the same idea of vexation of spirit. It's the chasing of the wind. You're chasing after it. Well, that's just silly, isn't it? There's storm chasers in the States. And they're hoping that they're going to see the particular formations of clouds so that they can plant something as a tornado forms, so they can understand what's going on in a tornado. Very few ever actually succeed in what they're doing. They're chasing the wind. And they're hoping to help mankind somehow through their efforts. But it's a silly idea, isn't it? But that's sin. That's the effort of self. That's I can do it. That can-do attitude, that can-do attitude gets you in trouble. Because when it comes to religious things, when it comes to spiritual things, you can't do it. You can't perform. You need a savior. You need an intermediary. You cannot purchase it yourself. You can't earn it yourself. There's nothing that we can do that lays us a claim to heaven, that lays us a claim to the promised land. It's not in our ability. It's in the ability of Christ. And so you sow to him, not to yourself. But that's what Israel did. And you say, well, that's a wonderful Old Testament representation, but it's not just in the Old Testament. Turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. It's a common theme throughout the Scriptures, not just in the Old Testament. It's the law of the harvest. What you plant is what you're going to reap. You sow to wickedness, you reap iniquity. You sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Before we go on to the reaping and sowing, it's amazing to me how judgmental Christians can be towards other Christians or towards other people. They're not sowing as God would have them sow. See, he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if someone that you know is doing something they shouldn't be doing, how do you treat that person? Do you berate them? Do you call them down? No, he says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Because it's easy to stray. If you don't think it's easy to stray, then you haven't lived long as a Christian. Or you're not honest with yourself. It's easy to have it happen. And Paul says here, in the way you treat others, it's important. In the way you treat people that have fallen, it's important. Do it in a spirit of weakness and meekness. Do it in a spirit that's recognizing that you could be that person and that you need help from someone else. So bear ye one another's burdens, in verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is that law of Christ? love your neighbor as yourself. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. It's extremely important, especially in the day that we live in, where good is called evil and evil is called good. You can see that in society today, where all sorts of sin are praised, that there are alternatives that you can gladly do, and we're going to make equality the rule. Well, those things are sin according to the Scriptures, and those things are called good. And what are we sowing towards? We're sowing to the flesh. We're sowing to our own enjoyment. We're sowing to our own pleasure. And what will we reap from that thing? What will we reap? We will reap destruction. We will reap corruption. Whether it be a nation that allows these things and even puts these things into law, whether it be a town that says this is the way we're going to have a good economy here, whether it be an individual, this is how I'm going to get ahead, by doing these things that are opposed to what Scripture teaches. You know, the United States made abortion legal in 1972, and they have averaged killing 1 million babies every year since then, on average. That's 42 years. That's almost the population of Great. That's 2/3 of the population of Great Britain. That's corruption. That's what they're sowing. That's going to come back. They will reap destruction. They will reap corruption. They will reap iniquity. And this nation is no different in that sense. Now the percentages are slightly lower in this country, but they began a few years earlier with abortion. I'm just picking that as one particular thing. Society today is sowing destruction, is sowing to the wind in a greater degree than we've ever been able to sow to the wind. I'm not saying that it's in a greater method. No, people have always done these sins. There has always been these things going on throughout human history. But we've become so efficient at them. We've become so good at them that we do it better than they used to do it. That we can make these laws for nations of hundreds of millions of people, and people follow them. And they call those things good. It's a right to choose. It's an equality situation. These things are corruption. We're sowing to the flesh. We're sowing for the now. And we're not looking towards the future. We're not looking towards the heavenly. We're not looking as to what's going to happen to our lives when we stand before God. Mankind doesn't want to hear that. They don't want to hear about something that's beyond themselves, that's out of their control and out of their ability. They want to be able to say, this is it. I've got it in my hands. I can control my own destiny. And they don't think about death. But death comes to all men. It's not something we can get away from. And each one of us will one day stand before God, and the question then becomes is, what have you been sowing to? Have you been sowing to the flesh? Have you been sowing and reaping corruption? Because he that sows to the flesh will stand corrupt before God. But he that sows to the Spirit, in verse 8, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's a huge contrast, isn't it? Here's sowing to the flesh, reaping corruption. Sowing to the Spirit, reaping life everlasting. How is that possible? It's only possible because of the gift of Jesus Christ. It's only possible because of his blood. That we can change what we're sowing to. It's not through my power, it's through his power. He makes me a new creation, and I'm now able to sow differently. I'm able to put someone else's needs above my own. I'm able to treat someone else better than they treat me. I'm able to love my enemy, not just my neighbor. I'm able to say, I'm not voting for this person because there is nothing that they stand for that I can agree with. Not you know what, I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils. No, I'm not going to vote for evil. I'm going to vote for good. I'm going to find a candidate that represents what I want them to represent, or I'm going to write somebody in. Because I'm not responsible anymore for who's elected. I'm responsible for who I voted for. That's what God's going to hold me accountable for. The idea is, what are you sowing? On an individual basis? On a corporate basis in the town you live, or the neighborhood you're in, or the church you belong to? What are you sowing as a nation? Are you sowing to the flesh? Or are you sowing to the Spirit? And this dovetails right into what we've been speaking about in the Sermon on the Mount. We've been talking about Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I read these verses in our scripture reading. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. That's the idea of, what are you sowing? You're laying up for yourselves treasures on earth. What's going to happen to that treasure here on earth? Well, moth and rust are going to corrupt it. Thieves are going to break through and steal it. One day you will die and that treasure on earth will be gone. The Pharisees' treasure, their treasure was the praise of men. I'm doing a great thing. I'm doing a fabulous thing for somebody. Well, that's going to be fleeting with the wind. That's not going to stand. That's not treasure in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's the law of the harvest. It's right there in different words. It's the same process. What are you sowing? Are you sowing towards heavenly things? Or are you sowing towards earthly things? What do you think you're going to reap? If you're sowing towards earthly things, you can't think that you're going to reap something heavenly. It's not going to happen. There's no connection there. The earthly is opposed to the heavenly. Or are you sowing heavenly things? And you look at those first 18 verses of chapter 6, where Jesus is telling us, be not as the hypocrites. Well, they're doing the same things. The Pharisees were doing, in the eyes of man, good things, weren't they? They were giving alms. They were praying. They were fasting. They were serving God. But Jesus called them hypocrites because they were doing it for the wrong reason. Because they were doing it for the praise of men. It was a good deed, but in the eyes of God, it meant nothing. They were sowing to the earthly. They were sowing to the flesh. What did they reap? They reaped corruption. That was their harvest. That's what they gathered in. A Christian ought to be different. A Christian ought to be sowing towards the heavenly because of what has been sown in us. Because of what God has sown in us through the Spirit. It's the blood of Christ. That's what He's given. That's what He's planted. And it should bring forth fruit. That's the idea of the parable of the talents. What has been sown? It's been given. The master's going to expect something back. What's the fruit of that? Are you diligently laboring for Him? Not for the treasure, but for Him. Are you sowing spiritual things to reap heavenly things? Or are you sowing earthly things? And then, are you sowing to this life alone? Is that what you're sowing for? This life, unfortunately, will one day end. There have been two people who have never died in the history of mankind. That's it. Enoch and Elijah. They're the only two. Out of the many, 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 many billions of people that have lived, I don't think the chances are good that any of us are not going to see death unless Christ comes before that. The question is, are you prepared for that? Have you sown spiritually? Have you sown to this life alone? Because if you're sown to this life alone, when you stand before God, you won't be able to raise your head and look at Him, because you will have reaped corruption. That will be your harvest. And you will be judged based upon your works, based upon your deeds, and not judged through the blood of Christ. Because that's the only difference, isn't it? The Bible, you know, I used to think as a young Christian that, well, the Bible doesn't say that you're going to be judged on your works. Actually, the Bible says over and over and over and over again that you'll be judged upon your works. Unless God sees you through the blood of Christ. unless you've been born again. But every single person who has not been born again, every single person that has not been washed in the blood of Christ, will be judged upon their works. And every single one of those works was sowing to the flesh, sowing to the earthly, and not sowing towards the heavenly. And that's what God calls us to. And so we point you to Christ. He is the only way. He is where salvation lies. There's salvation in no other. He is either true and right, or this book is worthless. He's either what he said he was, the way, the truth, and the life, or there's no point in reading it because he lied, and this book is about him. We should just get rid of it if he's not who he said he was. If you sit back and you dissect this book and say, I'm going to take this part and this part and this part, but I'm going to throw these parts out, which people have been doing for hundreds of years. Thomas Jefferson rewrote the Bible. One of the founding fathers of the United States rewrote the Bible, took out portions. Anything that was spiritual, he took out. Said, I'm going to keep all the good wisdom stuff. It's pointless. It's all true, or you can't tell what's true and what's not true. Jesus is who he said he was, or he was the biggest charlatan there ever was. He's either the way, the truth, and the life. He's either the savior of sinners, or he's somebody that should be turned away from. It's sowing and reaping. Jesus sowed when he died on the cross. He's reaped my soul. And I'm thankful for that. It's a gift from God. It's a blessing from him alone. So the question becomes, examine yourself. Where are you sowing? Sowing earthly? You're sowing heavenly? Are you looking towards the future? Are you looking for just now? Because one day the future will be here. We prepare and we prepare and we prepare. We prepare for retirement. We prepare for kids. We prepare for all kinds of things. One day it arrives. We've been preparing to move into a house for 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. It's been a long time to get to this house, and it's only supposedly a week away. It feels like it's still months away, but it's a week away. Time has a way of just keeps moving on, regardless of what we think about it, regardless if we've been prepared or not. What are you sowing? What will you reap? That's a question that we each have to ask ourselves, and so we point you to Christ.